Welcome to Random Bible Thoughts with Russ. Today's video is called Need Number 4, Study God's Word. There are five needs that I mentioned in the video when the fire becomes a flame. Need number 1 was turn to God and take Him seriously. Need number 2 is to humble yourself. And need number 3 was prayer. Today's video is need number 4. Study God's Word. Should Christians study God's Word? The answer is a resounding yes. So why do so many Christians not study God's Word? Or only open the Word on Sunday in church? That is, if they even bring it to church. And I just got a little pet peeve here. Churches nowadays are using a lot of tech, which is fine. But they're putting scriptures up there. And what I've observed in the congregation is because the scriptures on the screen up above, they don't need to bring their Bibles, and they don't. And I think that's a bad thing. You know, I don't think there's anything better than having God's Word in your hand. And I actually had my granddaughter one time tell me her stepmom said, you don't need to take your Bible, they put it on the screen. Well, I don't agree with that. You should always take your Bible, no matter if they have it on the screen or not. So that's my pet peeve. Technology in churches where they put the verses on the screen, put the music up their hand, that's fine. I can't read music anyways. But I can read the Bible, and I don't need it on the screen. I do take my Bible to church. Not this one. This is one I use for additional study. When I'm doing study, I have my primary source is the ESV. This is a study Bible. This is the complete Jewish study Bible. And it is an excellent resource as far as I'm concerned. It gives you, it uses some of the Hebrew names in there, and Hebrew words, which I think give scripture even a more solid meaning, better understanding for me anyways. So that is something that I would recommend anybody use a complete Jewish Bible. And though they do not sponsor me, I'm just recommending it because I like it. So where are some of the good reasons for not studying God's Word? Here are some possible answers. And I did say good reasons. These aren't necessarily good reasons, but these are some possible answers. If I study it, it will show my weak relationship with God. If I study it, it will show me my sin. If I study it, it will show me my failures as a Christian and as a person. If I study it, I'll have to stop some of the things I enjoy doing. If I study it, then I'll have to forgive someone that I don't want to forgive. If I study it, then it will take away my TV time. If I study it, people will think that I'm a Bible thumper. If I study it will take away my Facebook time. If I study it will require time that I don't have. If I study. The excuses can go on and on. As to why Christians don't study God's Word. May I say that these are lame excuses, and any other that you can come up with is to not study God's Word or lame excuses. If I study, I can't do this or I can't do that. It takes too much of, or I don't have time for God. What do you think God, how you would feel if God said, I didn't have time for you? We wouldn't have redemption, quite frankly. Some people will get a new device of some sort, phone, whatever. You know, this is my newest phone. It's a Samsung, relatively inexpensive one at that. But they'll get a new device, and they'll read the manual to go completely through it, to understand completely what this phone can do. What are all things I can do with this phone? Read the manual. That's it. Just read the manual and you can do all kinds of things with it. Then some will say, I love how this does such and such. And you respond, I didn't know it can do that. Well, our relationship with God is similar to the device. If we don't read the instructions, and practice the instructions, then we don't get the full experience of a relationship with God because we don't know what we should be doing or what God desires for our relationship. And just want to make sure people understand, to be clear here, I'm not talking about salvation by works. It's the relationship that comes out of it because of salvation. I'm not saying we study this to earn our salvation. We study this to improve our relationship with God. And there is an acronym for the Bible, that the book that is God's Word. The acronym for the Bible, the book that is God's Word. Actually, I think a Christian music group, DC Talk, I think. I think it was DC Talk. That's where I first heard this acronym for the Bible. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. These are instructions we need to read, practice, to learn what it is God desires for us in our relationship with Him and our life as a Christian. So let's dive in to the meat of this topic. Start off with, what is God's Word? 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is God-breathed out. Let me start over. Got my words mixed up there. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is a living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of the soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Psalms 119:105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I think Amy Grant had a song like that. Isaiah 48. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of God will stand forever. What do these verses tell us about the Word of God? The Word of God is God-breathed. The Greek for God-breathed is, I should have queued this up on my website. I can't do that right at the second. Okay, I'm back and I got queued up what I wanted to have queued up so I can make sure these pronunciations of the words in the Greek are clear. So let me just, what do these verses tell us about God's Word? The Word of God is, Word is breathed. The Greek for God breathes is, I clicked on the wrong button. All Scripture is inspiration by God. Okay, there it is. Here's the Greek word for God breathe, or inspiration, by inspiration of God.
Strong's G 2315. Theanoustos.
God Himself inspired the writers on what to write. They didn't just write what they wanted. They wrote what God inspired them to write. You could almost see God on a judge's bench and a stenographer, that is a court reporter, recording every word being said. It is useful in teaching us and those around us to reproof. Just a little more Greek for the word for reproof is
Strong's G 1650 Elejas. Elejas.
Okay, some manuscripts use the Elikos, a little bit different. But it means a proof, not just reproof, but a proof, that by which a thing is proved or tested. I think the latter is a correcter meaning, or correct meaning. It is a proof. The next word is useful in correction. Just a little more Greek for correction.
Strong's G, 1882, Epinarthosis.
It means a restoration to an upright or right state. Although reproof, I hope I should have done that, but I did. I just clicked away the thing. Oh, well, that's okay. I just do this by the seat of my pants, really. I enjoy doing it. And obviously, I don't have a studio. I don't have any big mics or anything like that. But, you know, I should like to share God's word. I think the next word, we did that, okay? Restoration to upright. Although reproof can mean correction, I believe the meaning has more to do with its usefulness in proving or to test. The word correction is to restore to an upright. Okay, moving on. Scripture useful training in righteousness and equipped for good works God has for you to do. Just briefly, what is righteousness? It's the condition acceptable to God, integrity, virtue, purity of life, righteousness, correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting. All are things that can be achieved through the study of the God-breathed word. Back to some Greek, and I shouldn't have done that, but okie dokie. Profitable, ophilemios, means profitable, profit. It's a form of the Greek word ophilios, meaning advantage. What does the word really tell us? It is to our benefit to study God's word, or to our profit, to our advantage. It is a benefit of studying God's word is for profit, to our profit, to our advantage. To our advantage. God's word is active in all our lives, helping us to make correct choices. It will show us the places in our lives we need to work. Where we need work. It will penetrate your heart and your soul to show you who you are in Christ, who you can become in Christ. Scripture can help you see the intentions of your heart. Scripture can help you see the intentions of your heart. What do you want, Doug? One of the meanings for the active in the Greek is effectual and powerful. Think about that. God's word will affect your life in making you stronger and more powerful to combat those who wish to destroy you. That is in a spiritual way. As mentioned above, God's word gives us power to battle the things in our spiritual life, and it will light our journey through this life to help us deal with those things that are and can be difficult to deal with. The word as a lamp will help you from straying from the path that God has for you to travel. The word of God will last for a lifetime. Proverbs 12:19. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. The truth of the word comes from the lips of God. Every time someone tries to prove the Bible wrong, they end up proving it true. Excuse me. I'm not really hiding my soda because with the Bible. That's just was a good place to put it. I can reach it easy. So what is God's word So what is God's word? The answer is simple, basic instructions on how to live. Basic instructions on how to live. Why study God's word? Above I mentioned several things. It helps us by studying God's word, Why study God's word? Above I mentioned several things. It helps us do by studying God's word. Yet there are more reasons to study it. We are told to study God's word. 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for the reason for the hope that that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Christians should be prepared at all times to defend their faith and explain the source of their hope. How do you do that? Study God's word. Study God's word. Christians should be prepared at all times to defend their faith and explain the source of their hope. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 21st century King James. Approved meaning to consider genuine by testing. Psalms 119:11. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. We are told to store up the word, or you could say study the word, so you can store it up and have a means to fight the sinful desires, the sinful fleshly desires, to sin against God. You can't store something up without going after it. So how do you store up God's word without going after it? You can't. You can't. You need to study God's word. You can't store it up without going after it. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. This refers to mental conformity to the truth of God. This renewal results in a transformation in the life of the believer. The renewal comes through study of God's word. This doesn't happen by sitting on your rump, but by participating by the study of God's word. Studying God's word is just one of the things we do to renew our mind. Also, part of this process would be prayer, meditating on the word. Studying God's word is part of the process of renewing our minds. We're told to renew your minds daily. Proverbs 3:1. My sons, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. How many things have been forgotten over the years? I think there's plenty that has been forgotten. Why? Because we don't continue to use or study of it. God's word is like that. Years ago, I went through a class, and part of the course of the class was memorizing 20 specific scriptures. I did that, but after the course was over, I stopped quoting the scriptures as I drove to work. I used to drive 80 miles one direction every day, so I would quote these scriptures while I'm driving. I had them on my dash. I guess in today's technology, it'd be on your screen. But anyways, I had them taped to my dash, and I would quote them over and over and over. Well, I stopped doing that after the class was over. I did that, but after, I drove to work. Well, I also don't remember them, with the exception of one. My point is, if we don't continue, to study God's word, we can, over time, become an ineffective Christian and become weak. Become an ineffective Christian and become weak. 7 days without God's word makes one weak. W-E-A-K. I'm going to end this here shortly. I'm going to end this with one more scripture in three different versions. One scripture in three different versions. The English Standard Version. This is James 1:22 in the English Standard Version. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Be a participant in the word. Don't just listen, but take action. By only listening and not doing, then you are just fooling yourselves that the word really matters. New American Standard Bible. Prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers only who delude themselves. This version of scripture is even more of a command, for it is asking for the evidence that you live the word and not deluded that it does not matter. By using the term prove yourselves. Prove yourself. Show me the evidence. The Weymouth New Testament, I bet not too many people have heard of it. I'm not sure if it's a paraphrase or not. If it's a paraphrase, I'm not a big fan of paraphrases, but I'm not sure how it's translated, although there are some verses in there I like, and I like this one with it. It's Weymouth New Testament. But prove yourselves obedient to the message, and do not mere hearers of it, imposing a delusion upon yourself. Like the NASB version, the Weymouth New Testament is asking for proof of obedience to the word. The gospel message that you not only hear it, you live it, and are not fooling into thinking it doesn't matter. By not studying God's word, then we are being doers of the word. Are we proving yourselves doers, or are we being obedient to the message of the word? By not studying, we are deceiving ourselves. The study of God's word is essential in a Christian life. Ezra knew this and is an example for us today. Ezra 7:10, for Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and teach his statutes and rules in Israel. Ezra practiced James 1:22 before it is even in the New Testament scripture. This is from, this little excerpt here is from a paper I wrote, 11:13-11, several years ago. This is Paul and James' teaching compared to Ezra's practice. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for this is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jews first and also to the Greeks. For it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. James 1:22. I've read this already, but I'll do it again. There's a little bit more here to it. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he looked like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. Not a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. He will be blessed in his doing. We can see in just these few verses that we as Christians should not be ashamed or embarrassed of God's word. We are to live it. We are to share it. So you may ask, what does this have to do with Ezra? Ezra 7:10 again. Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach its statutes and rules in Israel. Ezra set his heart to study of God's word. He was not ashamed. He practiced God's law. He was a doer, and he taught God's law. He shared God's law. Ezra did what the New Testament writers tell us to do. Ezra set the example. The New Testament writers said that this is what we should be doing. It's past time for us as Christians to take a stand, to not be ashamed of the gospel, to live it like it really matters, to share it like it really matters, to share it as if it really makes a difference. Be an Ezra. Be an Ezra. If this video was helpful in you some way, please like, share, and tell your friends. If you got any questions, you can leave them in the comment area, and I'll do my best to answer them as quickly as possible. God bless.